Matthew 22, verse 41. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, "What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he?" They say unto him, "The son of David." He saith unto them, "How then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand, till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then call him Lord, how is he his son?" And no man was able to answer him a word, neither durst any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. Our Father, we pray that thou wilt bless the public reading of thy word to us, for Christ's sake. Amen. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 22. We're going to have another reading in a moment, but chapter 22 is the basis for what I want to say to you tonight. A most instructive line of meditation concerns the questions that the Lord Jesus Christ asked people. And in asking them the questions, the Bible being what it is and for our times, the Lord Jesus Christ is also asking us the same questions. One of them is, for instance, you may well remember, he said to the disciples when he had them up at Caesarea Philippi on one occasion, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" What a question that was. "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" On another occasion, he said to the disciples, "Where is your faith?" I wonder, has he reason to say that to us at times? We have faith, but it's inoperative. We are not acting it out or practicing it or applying it. He said on another occasion, "What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" What a question. There's one that we read off earlier tonight in Matthew chapter 22. It's found in verse 42. This is the question. What think ye of Christ? The word Christ is a very important word. It's not there just to fill a space. It's not just a nice name that we can cite or quote or address the Lord Jesus in. But it's a very special name. It means Messiah. It means the Anointed One. And it shows that the Lord Jesus, in God's mind, is the Anointed Messiah and Deliverer of the people. What think ye then of Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ? You can see right away that this is a very pertinent question. Of course it is. The Lord Jesus Christ, being who he is asking us tonight, what do we think of him? So it's pertinent. John Newton, who wrote Amazing Grace, wrote a number of hymns. And he wrote this one that I want to quote from now. Listen to these words. "What think ye of Christ is the test, to try both your state and your scheme. You cannot be right in the rest unless you think rightly of him." So it's a pertinent question. It's also a personal question. Every one of us individually tonight and personally has got to answer this question to the Lord Jesus as he asks it of us. And then you can see it's a provocative question. An answer is called for. He is provoking us to thought. He is provoking us to form an opinion and then express that opinion. And ladies and gentlemen and young people, to every one of us here in this room, the Lord is asking you, what do you think of me? What do you think of Christ? And he wants your answer. Now, to help you form the opinion, I want to turn to one incident, just one incident in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as we look at that incident, I want you to come to a conclusion and to respond in a most positive and definite manner to this question. Now, the question's the basis, what think ye of Christ? And I want you to turn back to Matthew chapter 8 and have a short reading, see this incident, and we begin at verse 23. And when he, that is the Lord Jesus, was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves. But he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, Why are ye so fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? That's the incident. Think of the question, what think ye of Christ? To help us come to an opinion and a conclusion, I want you to consider, first of all in this incident, his humanity. His humanity. We are told in that 24th verse, the last part of it, but he was asleep. You say, what's so special about that? It's very important to understand that the Lord Jesus Christ was both God and man. Not half God, not half man, but he was God and man, two natures in one person. There was the divine nature, and there was his human nature, and they are found in Christ incarnate. Now, our shorter catechism that all the children in our Sunday school will learn over a period of time, in question 21 asks, Who is the Redeemer of God's elect? And here is the answer. The only Redeemer of God's elect is the Lord Jesus Christ, who being the eternal Son of God, became man, and so was, and continueth to be, God and man, in two distinct natures, and one person forever. That's the Lord Jesus we're talking about. One who is God, and at the same time, perfectly human, sin apart. Now, the fact that he lay asleep in the boat indicates that he was human. The Bible says in Psalm 121, He that keepeth thee will not slumber. He that keepeth Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. And that is true. God does not, but God manifest in the flesh does. The Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ rejoiced in spirit. Now, rejoicing is an emotion, and the Lord Jesus Christ knew what it was like to rejoice. We are told also that the Lord Jesus Christ, on at least two occasions, probably three, he wept. We are told that he wept when he stood at the tomb of Lazarus. We are told that he wept when he beheld Jerusalem, just as he rode in that day on what has been called Palm Sunday. And then we are told in Hebrews 5 that he wept with strong crying and tears. That may well have been in the Garden of Gethsemane. But the point is, he wept. The Bible tells us he thirsted. The Bible tells us that he was tired. We have seen him sleeping here in the boat. And then we find that earlier the Bible said he must needs go through Samaria on one occasion. He must needs go through because he had a woman to see there, a fallen woman who was in great need, and he was going to be a means of great blessing to her. And the Bible says he sat down at Jacob's well, being weary with the journey. The humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he was also God. Thomas said, My Lord and my God. Peter said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. The Lord Jesus Christ himself said that all men should honor me, should honor the Son as they honor the Father. What a statement. He says, as the Father giveth life to whom he will, even so doth the Son of Man give life to those whom he will, putting himself on a par with Almighty God. Why? Because he is Almighty God. He's the God-man. In John chapter 1, we learn these words. In the beginning was the Word. Now that word, Word, starts with a capital W. It's a title, it's a proper noun, it's the name of Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. So there are distinct personalities there. And then it goes on to say, and the Word was God. So this person called the Word is also called God. And in verse 14, we are told, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's the Lord Jesus. So ladies and gentlemen, tonight I'm saying to you, as you look at the Lord Jesus Christ asleep in the boat, think of his humanity. And think of it this way, that because he was human, we learn in Hebrews chapter 4, we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. That's what a high priest was all about. God gave Israel a high priest to represent him to them and to represent them to him. And he was one who was compassed with infirmity. So he knew how to represent the people of Israel. And because the Lord Jesus Christ is perfectly human, he knows how to represent us. He knows your feeling. He knows your sorrows. He knows your trials. He knows your problems. What think ye of Christ in his humanity? But there's something else to notice. Not only his humanity, but his serenity. Yes, he was asleep, but think of the circumstances in which he was sleeping. You say, because he was tired. Yeah, but not only that, he was sleeping in a boat. It's not the most pleasant of places to sleep, a fishing boat, in Bible days. Now we're told in Mark's account of this, that there was a pillow provided. We don't know what kind it was, but the Bible says the Lord lay down in the pillow. Isn't that a lovely picture of serenity? The Creator of the world going to sleep in an old fishing boat. Ah, but this becomes all the more enhanced when you think of the circumstances. While he's sleeping, a storm is beginning to break. Now those who know tell us that storms came on Galilee's lake all of a sudden, and they could become very, very difficult to handle. But these disciples, many of them being fishermen, no doubt would have been used to that very often, but not to this one. The boat begins to sway. The disciples are getting a wee bit concerned. And then it begins to lurch. And then the waters begin to churn. And then they begin to rise up until the Bible says there's a great tempest. Oh, how Matthew and Mark and Luke all together paint a composite picture here. We are told of a tempest. Then a great storm of wind. Then raging water and waves. And we are told here in Matthew that the boat began to be covered with water. Mark says it was full of water. And Luke tells us the men were in great jeopardy. Here was a crisis situation, and the Lord Jesus Christ was asleep through it all. Does that not indicate serenity? The Lord Jesus asleep in the storm, and the disciples panicking. In fact, as I've already said, these disciples would have been used to that. But in Mark's account, they say, they wake him up and say, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Matthew doesn't tell us that, but Mark does. Matthew just says they woke him up and said, Master, we're perishing, we're going down. But Mark tells us that they spoke rather abruptly and rudely. Do you not care about us? By the way, they only would have gone down if the Lord Jesus had gone down. And the Lord had no intention of going down, because he was on his way over to Galilee to go to the other side to rescue a poor man who was possessed with demons.
The Lord knew all about this. But the great point is, ladies and gentlemen, he was sleeping in the midst of a storm. Many years ago, people were asked to submit a picture of calmness, tranquility, and serenity. Many of them were submitted, and they were good ones, but the one that won the prize was a raging cataract, a huge waterfall with its thunderous noise and hurling waters, and a tree beside it with the branch coming right over in front of it, and a bird's nest where the mother bird was brooding her young. That won the prize. Ladies and gentlemen, there may be a storm in your life. It may all be churning up your life. There may be a tempest as you have come here tonight. Let me say to you, if you will bring the Lord Jesus Christ aboard the vessel of your life, he will give you this serenity in the storm. Another ship comes into my mind now. It was an ocean-going liner, not a fishing boat, not even a ferry, big as they are, but a big liner like a cruiser. And there was a storm at sea, and the captain, through his crew, gave strict instructions that the people were not to come up on deck. So the people had to stay where they were because it was a very difficult situation. And this woman, who was anything but serene, who was anything but calm, she noticed on the far side of the big hall where the people were sitting when the storm began to reach its peak. And they were told not to move. But she saw this wee boy across the hall, sitting in one of the seats, and he seemed to be unperturbed. She says, I have to find out if that wee fella's all right. And the poor woman staggered across to the other side of the room in the boat, and then just about fell down beside the wee fella and said, son, are you okay? He says, yes, ma'am, I'm fine, thank you. She says, why are you not upset? There's other children here and they're crying and they're holding on to their mum and dad. Why are you like that? He said with a smile on his face, madam, my dad is the captain of the ship and I've been through this several times with him. He knows what he's doing and he knows how to bring us out into the calm. What a lesson there. Oh, my dear hearer, if you will take the Lord Jesus Christ into your life, turn from your sin, receive him by faith as your Savior, call upon the one who died on the cross at Calvary, shed his blood to make atonement for your sin, and rose again from the dead, instantly you'll have peace in your life. And no matter what storm you go through, and there are many storms that you and I will have to go through before we reach the end of our lives, you can have serenity. You can have calmness. You can have peace. Somebody once wrote these words. I saw them this evening. I wrote them out. Let me read them to you. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stead on thee. I read the dear old promise o'er, and asked, is this for me? When troubles throng and will not cease, can God keep me in perfect peace? In perfect peace when seas are high, when loud the cutting blast, when laid upon a bed of pain, when tears are falling fast. If Satan all his power release, can God still keep me in perfect peace? Yet I recall that far-off night upon a storm-swept sea when urgent cries for succor came from men in jeopardy. How instantly the waves were still in swift obedience to his will. O mighty master of the sea, thou art my master too, and thou all things unto thyself art able to subdue. Thou biddest my tumult cease. Thou keepest me in perfect peace. What think ye of Christ in his serenity? What think ye of Christ in his humanity? He was asleep What think you of Christ in his serenity? He was asleep in a storm in a boat that was being blown about on a wild raging sea. And then lastly, what think ye of Christ in his ability? Notice what happened in verse 25. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, why are you so fearful? Or why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Try to imagine the scene. I'm sure you've seen it depicted, a storm at sea. Or maybe you've even had the awful misfortune to have been in one. In fact, some people who travel across from Scotland or from Northern Ireland to Scotland or England, if the waters are just choppy, they become very sick without there being a storm. What must a storm at sea have been like? What must it have been like in a fishing boat? Is it any wonder these disciples were alarmed? Oh, they're at their wits' end. They've tried to bail the water out of the boat as much as they could, but they're not succeeding. The boat's filling up fast. What are we going to do? And they said, Master, waken up, we're going down. And the Lord rose up, we are told, in a majestic form and in a majestic voice, he rebuked the winds. And he said to the sea, peace be still, in Mark's account. The effect of it, a great calm, and the wonder of the disciples. Try to imagine the wind ceasing and the waves becoming level again like placid waters. And everything calm. And the disciples looking at one another and looking at the Master, saying, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obeys him? Ladies and gentlemen, he can quell the storm in your life. Not only can he give you serenity, but what's rising up in you, what's rising up all around you and threatening you, if you will have him as Savior and Lord of your life and be committed to him fully, not only will he give you serenity, but he can make a great calm to come into your circumstances. Listen to what we are told. Through his atoning death, through his bodily resurrection, he is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him. What think ye of Christ in his great ability? Is your opinion formed? Would you like to express it? What kind of opinion is it? How would you express it? Could we do any better than the words in the prophet Isaiah? His name shall be called Wonderful, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace. Could we do any better than what Thomas said, My Lord and my God? Could we do any better than the Apostle Paul, who said, He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, for to me to live is Christ. Could we do any better than the bride in the Song of Solomon, when she spoke of her lover in type the Lord Jesus? He is the chiefest among 10,000. Yea, he is the altogether lovely one. Is that your opinion? Would you not express it tonight? You may have come to Christ lately, but you haven't said. You've given your heart to the Lord, perhaps in one of these pews, or maybe at a seat at home, but you've never said. He's asking the question, what think ye of Christ? Will you tell him you think he's the greatest? Tell him you love him. Tell him you're trusting him. I read the first part of the first verse of John Newton's hymn. Let me read the last verse. Have asked, what of Jesus I think, though still my best thoughts are but poor. I'll say he's my meat and my drink, my life and my strength and my store, my husband, my trust and my friend, my Savior from sin and from thrall, my hope from beginning to end, my portion, my Lord, and my all. Can you say that? What think ye of Christ? Shall we pray together? Lord Jesus, we believe you're asking each one of us tonight that question. And there are many here who can say of thee what John Newton has said, or what Paul, or John, or Isaiah, or what the bride could say. And gladly we affirm it. We love thee, Lord Jesus. Thou art the altogether lovely one. This is my beloved, my friend, my Lord and my God. Lord, may others be able to join those who can say that. They're not ashamed to say it. May they begin to be thinking now. And as we've just looked at one incident, a very critical one too, crucial one, significant one, and as they've seen thee, Lord Jesus, in thy real humanity and in thy glorious serenity and powerful ability, may they come to the conclusion tonight that others have come to. This Lord Jesus must be my personal Savior, my Lord and God, and may they yield to thee as such. We ask it in thy name and for thy sake. Amen.